Okay, let's bow in prayer and we'll look at God's word this morning. Our Father, thank you for how we can come before you. And I just want to say thank you so much that as I stand here, I don't just going to speak whatever fills my mind. I thank you that we have your eternal word. We are so grateful for this. I thank you that it hasn't just been Chinese whispers passed on to us, but we have your truth that's been kept for us and preserved and even put into our language. And I ask that for all of us, we'd be so thankful for that. Not only would we always have your word preached here at Bazo, but even in our own lives, we would be reading from your word and growing in your truth. And Father, thank you now for this special section we're going to be looking at this morning. I ask that you would minister to us through your word. And thank you that you've told us how that happens by the Holy Spirit. We thank you that one of his great purposes is to lead us into all truth and also to transform us as well. So we ask for your spirit to move in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you will have heard from time to time an adventure that Colin and I and Dennis and Diane had in the year 2009 on a cruise ship. I just want to touch on this story again because of how it fits into the sermon. And if you haven't heard it, this is what happened in 2009. This is our only cruise we've ever been on. We were going along in the South China Sea from Da Nang, Vietnam, to Hong Kong. And as we were going along, blow me down, that's a bit of a pun there, we had a typhoon come across our path. And this was a pretty severe typhoon on the open ocean, which resulted in up to 200 kilometre hour winds ripping off the top layer of the water and mountainous seas are coming against us. And I just want to share with you what I remember of that story. There's a lot, but just the fact that this was an incredible time where we were just shaken about, literally. And we had all sorts of things happening. The boat's leaning over, so you couldn't even stand upright. I remember taking a photo of people on an angle like that walking down the aisle. And besides that, when the boat went straight over a big wave, it would crash on the other side. And at the front of the boat, you couldn't stand. You would fall to the ground. There's tables breaking, seats breaking, ceiling panels falling down. So you can get the picture? Pretty horrific. We were praying as well and actually experienced God's peace. But also, the bow was constantly having waves come straight over it. And so you can imagine there's a lot of water coming into the boat. By the way, some of the waves were coming up to the sixth level on the cruise ship. So a lot of water coming in. And the pumps couldn't handle it. So I think what I remember is that we're sinking beneath the waves rather than standing above the waves. That's not a good position to be in. But fortunately, we got through it all because the time we experienced this was probably over a 7-hour period. And then everything sort of recovered. And we get to Hong Kong and the ship is very damaged. The hull had to be inspected. People are damaged. Not only freaked out in fear, but there were actually broken bones and things like that from stuff happening. So it's a pretty incredible time. And I wanted to share a part of the story with you this morning because of how it leads into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Let's have a read of that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. You see how my mind went to this storm we went through? There's the mention of what? Waves. Waves. And wind. And so, it's interesting, isn't it? I think of that. What was difficult in that storm was to stand. And when I look at this passage, I feel that it's dominantly speaking about the need to stand in the storm. We have winds and waves opposing us. So let me just briefly, before we look into it, remind you all that if we are Christians, we live in a fallen world, but we also are living in times in our society, in our world, where what's happening? Well, we know that there's such a spiritual decay. And we know that the rule of Christ is rubbished and the gospel of Christ is rubbished even in our own society. And we are having wave upon wave and strong winds blowing in order to make us not stand, but fall away from Christ. These are very dangerous and treacherous times. And when I come to a passage like this, we're going to look especially at verses 14 to 16. I'm so thankful that God has given us three great verses to help us stand in the storm. We're not talking about a typhoon storm, we're talking about a spiritual storm that all of us are experiencing as we live in this fallen world. And I hope you realise that. You know, that's how it is. It's not peaceful sailing. This is a very challenging time. And I know in my own life, in terms of family and friends, I have seen people fall away from the faith. These are very dangerous times that where the storm has taken hold of them and blown them over. So this is we're going to look at this great passage, and we're going to be looking at some really important things. The first point we're going to look at is standing in God's truth. The second one is speaking truthfully in love. And the third one is sticking together. Okay? So there they are, standing in God's truth, speaking truthfully in love, and sticking together. That's how we're going to stand in the storm. So let me read again Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, and we'll make some comments on it. As a result, we're no longer, and let me just say, as a result, don't forget this is a lead-in from what we looked at last week. Last week we looked at how in God's grace, in Christ's grace, He's gifted the church with many beautiful spiritual gifts that are to be used so that we might be equipped. It might be built up. It might become mature in Christ. And then leading into this, we have verse 14. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. So in this passage, in this verse, the Apostle Paul wants to remind us that we are living in dangerous times, as it was back in the New Testament period, in Paul's day, but even today as well. And we have these waves hitting us, some big waves. We have strong winds blowing against us as Christians so that we might be tossed about and fall away from Christ. And look at what it says there. What's being attacked is what we hold to. It talks about doctrines. We have a Christian truth, and we are the Christian truth we hold to are being attacked and smashed by this world. And that's what we're up against. And look what's behind it. It says the trickery of men by craftiness in deceitful scheming. There's deceit there, there's trickery, there's craftiness. So often we can be so naive in regards to what's going on. Our foundations are being shaken. And we need to remember this is what's happening. I want to refer you to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And there's a verse there that I want to read out. Because the emphasis in this verse tells us it's not just people. There's actually something behind the people. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, we read, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So what that is saying is that behind the people, demons and spirits are behind certain people to bring into our society and to bring into Christ's church error and falsehood. These are the winds and the waves that we're talking about that oppose us. This is the storm that we are facing. And friends, the storm is really great at the moment. Do you appreciate that? This is not an easy time to be a Christian. This also goes hand in hand with Jesus' teaching that there would be a great falling away from the faith in the last days. These words are very important that you understand these words and take them to heart. So let me just mention a few things. Today in our society, let me just mention just a few things. Great winds of false doctrine that have blown against our society. Great waves that have come over society to take us away from our Christian foundations. And I'm going to just mention just a few. So some of the ones that I can think of are these ones. Our kids, university, right through, we have been so influenced to think that there is no need for a God because evolution explains it all. And we have done so much damage in removing the existence of God. We believe, you know, we are taught, many people believe that God is just a figment of our imagination. There is no God. And if there is anybody who's God, it's us. We control our own destiny. That's what people hold to. We're our little God and we can determine our destiny. That's a huge thing that's come across society. Back in the day, everyone believed in God. The only problem was, which God do you believe in? Is it the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ or some other false God? And we live in a time when basically do whatever you want, as long as you don't get caught, as long as you don't hurt somebody else, but do whatever you want. These are the great waves, just some of them, that have come upon us in our society. But as soon as I mention those things, I'm also conscious that the great waves and winds, the great storm upon us as Christians, as we live for Jesus, is actually not coming from society. Have you ever realized that the greatest dangers, the greatest waves and winds have come from within the church? And from within the church, there have been leaders, there have been pastors, there have been scholars, there have been theologians who have corrupted the truth. There's a great number of people who would call them Christians, they would call themselves Christians today, who believe that you get to heaven by being a good person or by following rituals in church and have not been taught the truth that we are saved by grace through faith. Wow, that's a huge error. What great winds, what great waves have come across the church. And there are many other things that I could mention. I'm just going to mention again a few others. These are my the ones that come to my mind. I can't help but think of the damage done, and I have some friends who are in this group who have fallen away from the faith, who have lost confidence in Genesis chapter 1, after Genesis chapter 11. And they began to think that maybe God didn't create the world spectacularly in 6 days. And they hold to theistic evolution. And it causes a whole unravelling of confidence in the truth. That's a very strong doctrine now in many churches, that God has used evolution to create this world rather than what the Bible says. A few other things that are important. On the other end of the scale, at the back end of the Bible, I know in the circles that I mix with, there is a growing number of people who believe in the annihilation of the wicked. They do not believe in a lake of fire. They do not believe that the wicked are eternally punished and tormented forever. They don't believe that anymore. Why don't they believe that? Because, well, God's a loving God. He would never do that. And they don't think what the Bible says. And that's also happening in the church. I've got a church at the moment, a pastor there. I'm trying to help not go down that road. He wants to even change the statement of faith, their constitution, because that's how passionate he is about it. And he's wrong. And this whole thing, the whole Bible, is being eroded by so many people. Let me mention a few more things. Many hold, this is the most dangerous one I reckon, many hold to this, the truth, or not the truth, but this doctrine, that God loves all people, true, and that God doesn't matter what we do. He's tolerant and loving no matter who we are, no matter what we do. So what's the thing they push? Don't preach repentance. Don't preach repentance. Repentance is not something that should be preached because God loves all people everywhere, no matter what they do. He's so loving and tolerant. Just keep doing what you want to do. That's another great erosion to the gospel truth. It's another great wave that has come upon the church. And that's why, even in Perth, there are churches who, for example, the people who go to those churches are homosexuals because they haven't heard the word repentance. They have believed that God loves them no matter what they do. Do you understand how serious this is? I've got some friends who go to that church and I've tried to wrestle with them and help them lovingly to understand the truth. To understand a God who does love them and who can transform them through the grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're up against. There are many things. Now I want to mention one more. Another one that's been around for a while is the health, wealth and prosperity doctrine. And the reason why I can't stand that one is I just can't stand how God is made to look like some Santa Claus figure who is only there to give us what we want. And if you don't have what you want, it's your fault, you don't have enough faith. Well, first of all, the character of God is damaged by that doctrine. And that also is so prevalent in the church. And not just in Australia, but you go to South Africa and you go to the Philippines, that is such a dominant wrong doctrine in the church that leads to brokenness and people falling away from the faith. It's terrible. Better stop there. I could go on, right? So what do we do? Well, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we need to be aware of these wrong doctrines and teachings that come from, especially within the church. And so how can you stand in the storm? You got to stand on God's truth. That's what it always comes down to. You have to stand on God's truth. You need to believe that this book, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, that's the last verse in the Bible, is the inspired word of God. It's not the ramblings of men, it's the revelation of God. This has not come from human experience, it's come from God inputting into our world, into our darkness, so that we can know the truth. And we must stand on it. That's how you stand against the storm. We must take hold of this word, we need to read it ourselves, and we need to make sure it's preached well in our churches, so that people hear the truth, and when they hear the truth and they build their life on the truth, they will be able to stand and not fall away, not be tossed about and end up being broken and turning away from the faith. And friends, we need so much. We need, even in Basso, that we continue this wonderful tradition that I've been given, that we be preachers of the gospel of Christ, we be preachers of the whole counsel of God, the word of truth, right now and right until the day of our Lord Jesus' return. And if you have any concerns about what's being preached, please come and see the elders or myself, and let's make sure that we are standing on the truth, not compromised. Otherwise we will be sinking, a sinking ship. Okay, so now I want to move on to the next verse, and that's verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And I'd love to make a lot about that last bit of the verse. We have a head. I'm not the head of this church. Christ is the head of this church. I am a servant of Christ. Christ is the Lord. Christ is the head. Oh, praise His name. I didn't die for you. He died for you. He purchased you. I'm a brother to you. And Jesus Christ is the Lord and the head of His church, even here at Basso. But now I want to look at what it says here at the beginning of verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Now when I look at this verse, I first of all think that it's an extension of verse 14, speaking the truth. But there's something else that's emphasized there, isn't there? Speaking the truth in love. And that makes me realize that this verse is saying a little bit something else. It's not just saying speak the truth. Of course we should speak the truth. But what's being mentioned here is how we are to speak the truth. How we are to speak the truth in regards to right doctrine. How we are to speak the truth in regards to sharing our lives with each other and bringing up certain matters that affect us. In all that, we are to speak the truth in love. What's so important about this? It's so important that we are not just being affected by false doctrine trying to pull us down, but we are not also pulling each other down, bringing each other down by the way we speak and conduct ourselves with each other. See another danger? So how many people have lost sight of a church and got so disappointed with church because of infighting and division and things being done not in love? We might be speaking the truth, but it's not in love. And I love how I look at Jesus, He's just so beautiful, and I look at Him, there's a great verse in John 1 verse 14 that says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He held it together always, full of grace, full of truth, full of love, full of truth. That's how we are to be with each other. There's no place for anything else. We're to be following Jesus, full of grace and full of truth. And when we are speaking the truth in love, This is what love looks like. We looked at it earlier, a week or so ago. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the same chapter, verses 2 and 3, I love this definition of love and what it brings about. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, my friends, if only all of us would live those words out. That will cause your hearts to be loving toward each other, and when we speak to each other, we'll be speaking the truth in love. And it brings about unity. Instead of there being conflict and we're pulling down each other, we will be building each other up and able to stand the storm. So see, standing in the storm requires us to be standing on the truth, and also it means speaking the truth in love, because we're not pulling each other down, but building each other up. So you should know that churches have come and gone, that people have left the church because they haven't stood on the truth and because they've been pulling each other down. We've got to make sure we understand these things and live out the Word of God. By the way, I reckon there's some great words we're coming up to, but I've got to read it now, about how what it looks like to speak the truth in love. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Probably a few weeks away from looking at this, or maybe after Easter. It says in verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word," or the King James has, "let no corrupt communication," I love that little phrase, "let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification," or building up, "according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." What a great verse. But also verses 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." They are golden verses. I love how practical the Word of God is. This is speaking the truth in love. There's stuff to get rid of and the stuff to take on. All right, let's now consider the last part of today's sermon, which is in verse 16. I might read 15 into 16, because it flows. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Love's mentioned again. God's people are to be a people full of love for Him and love for each other. But in this section, what I want to highlight to you, especially in terms of that image of standing in the storm, is a great way to stand in the storm is to stick together. Do you see that there? You're not meant to be on your own. The Christian life is not all about being, you know, on your own, the lone wolf. We are designed by God to be sticking together. Jesus Christ has joined us together. That's what it talks about. He's joined us together by the same Spirit of Jesus in each of us. We are held together by His Spirit. And we also have spiritual gifts given to each of us, so that we can bless and encourage each other, so we can serve. And Paul mentions here the picture of the body. What a beautiful picture. The human body. The human body. You don't have my arm floating out there, my head over there. It's stuck together. We have joints. We have tendons and ligaments and all these things, bone structure, that holds the body together. And also, every part of the body is different. And it functions and it supports and serves each other. The whole body, how it works. What a picture of the church, your human body. We're meant to be a group together, stuck together by Christ, serving one another. You're not to be on your own. And I hope in the days of this COVID virus, we have learnt the importance of fellowship. Fellowship is important. I hope, even though Zoom is a good thing and other things like that, it's not ideal. It's so good to be in the company of each other, to pray together, love each other, to sing songs of praise. Stick together. That's how we need to be if we're going to stand in the storm. Okay, so I was thinking as I was going through this section, I thought, oh man, I remember this. I remember looking at a documentary and I thought of Antarctica. Why did I think of Antarctica? The documentary I'm thinking of is The Emperor Penguins. The Emperor Penguins. So if you know what happens after the female lays the egg, the male gets the catches the egg and on his feet and then sort of lowers down to keep it warm. All the females go to the water to go hunting for food, and the males are left. The males are left on the ice pack with blizzard blowing, with freezing cold weather. We'd die instantly if we were there. And what do the emperor penguins do? Oh, they just spread out and find their own place. No, they don't. They all come together. One big group. Have you seen it? Massive area. They're close to each other, keeping each other warm. Not only that, but they're moving around slightly so that they have turns, taking on the blast, the cold blast of the Antarctic winds. That's how they survive. What a picture for us. We've got to stick together. We need to warm each other up and help each other in order to stand the storm that we are going through in this present time. I want to say that again, we are going to go through, even now and beyond, massive spiritual storms that are coming upon us, a society that will hate us more and more. So we must stand on the truth. We need to speak truthfully to each other in love, and we need to stick together. This is the word of the Lord. This is what Paul teaches us. He saw this church in Ephesus. He taught this church in Ephesus. You know that the Ephesus church actually ended up cracking up and falling away. Why did that happen? They didn't listen to the truth. They were warned by Jesus, you've lost your first love. But they continue to decline. All of us are in danger of that if we don't put into practice the things that God has shared with us. Alright, and I want to just say that our next song we're going to sing is called Cornerstone. And I picked this, I was going to pick no other name, but it's Cornerstone, because I love the chorus. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. I'm just going to read to you what I quoted a bit earlier, but I'll read this here. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him, who is this him? It is Christ Jesus. He who believes in him will not ever be disappointed. What a beautiful truth. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that you have given us your Son Jesus. And we thank you that he has come into our world and taken on our human form, and he has taken our place upon the cross, a place of judgment, to bear the judgment for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And we thank you that he also rose from the dead and is at your right hand right now, and we are looking forward to his glorious return. But until that day, I pray, Father, that you would help us in the light of your Son and the truth we've looked at this morning, that we would have built our life on Christ, that he would be for each one of us the chief cornerstone, the one we depend on with all our being, that we give ourselves completely to him. And Father, I pray in the light of Ephesians 4 that you would help us to stand in the truth, your truth, that you would help us to do those things, Lord, where we speak truthfully in love to each other. Please, would you convict us when we speak horribly, when we pull each other down, if there's any slander or gossip, please would that go. And Lord, please help us to stick together. May there be the warmth of the Spirit warming each other up as we stick together and support each other. I pray, Father, that none of us here would fall away from the faith. Instead, we'd have the joy of seeing many come to faith, to come to know Jesus in these very dangerous times. So Lord, help us to be a wonderful light in your world until we see the glorious return of Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.